Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
All of us have people in our lives that's made such great impressions, important people. One of those for me was Dr. Bobby Moore. He was a pastor, and he really became a mentor to me. But he would pray for me. And one of the things he prayed for me was that give Bert a heart for the world. Now, he wasn't talking about worldliness, but he was saying a heart for God's people around the world, globally. I want to read this passage of Scripture, and I think it kind of lets you know what it is that God's desire is. It says this in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" You can't help but notice those words that it says clearly: nations, tribes, peoples, tongues. I don't think anyone was left out. Anybody left out, Nathan?
No, I don't think anybody is left out as far as every people group, every nationality, ethnic group, language. Every group of people will have representatives around the throne of God in eternity. One, what kind of amazing gathering that will be to be a part of that. And two, to be a part of the gathering, the harvest of those peoples, to be a part of being a faithful witness and sharing the good news of Jesus, making disciples of all the nations, to be someone that gets to be a part of the work now and see that result later.
All those nations. I can't help but think of an experience that we had with you when you were doing the mission work there in the Atlanta, Georgia area with all the different refugees. And ever so often they would meet together. And this particular Sunday when we were there, we were worshiping with you, and all the churches from different nationalities came together and, again, singing songs in their language. And I knew the tune, but it was glorious. I said, man, this is a little taste of what heaven's going to be like.
Well, today we want to keep that vision in mind, but we want to help equip each of us, challenge us, maybe encourage us to develop some habits. And they're habits that will make for a global Christian. Like you were talking about, the prayer for you to God to give you a heart for the world. Yeah, and that prayer was probably a habit, became a habit. And there's other habits that we can talk about, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about five habits that help us to become global-focused, a global Christian, someone who has God's heart for the nations and keeps that vision, the end vision of Revelation 7:9, always in front of us. I don't know if you knew this, but it's reported that over 40% of our lives, of people's daily lives and our actions, stem not from intentional thought or active decision-making, but instead from habits that have been developed. So 40% of your day is a habit or something that comes from a habit. That's kind of interesting to think about.
I can see that when I think about my day, yes.
And a lot of times it's not conscious. We're not conscious of that action. It might be unconscious. Now, that's not a new thought, actually. C.S. Lewis, we know of him and have read of him, and he said once that good and evil both increase at compound interest. That's why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance.
That would be C.S. Lewis, yes.
And so I think you and I would probably agree, we believe that the Great Commission is going to be fulfilled by believers, by followers of Jesus, who filled by that Revelation 7:9 vision of people from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue worshiping the Lamb of God. But those followers of Jesus, fulfilling the Great Commission, will have intentionally cultivated the lifestyle of a global Christian, one habit at a time. So today we're going to look at five habits that will help us to do that. Now, we're going to listen in the audio of some videos that were produced by some friends of mine at Global Frontier Missions. You mentioned serving in Atlanta, and that's where I served with Global Frontier Missions. In fact, this summer they are celebrating their 25th anniversary as an organization. They put together some resources to help us in that pursuit of developing healthy habits of a global Christian. And so these habits are not new, but they're also not exhaustive. There's just five of them that we're going to talk about today. But they're a helpful starting place as we seek to be intentional with the small daily decisions that are of infinite importance, as C.S. Lewis said.
Amen.
So the first habit is to pray.
As we seek to grow as global Christians, we must make prayer a priority in our lives. Spending regular time with God and listening to His voice are essential as we seek to be ambassadors of His kingdom. Prayer aligns us with His purposes and increases our compassion for the people around us. In Matthew 9, when Jesus saw the crowds of people, His initial directive was not to go and do anything, but instead to pray. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." Matthew 9:36-38. As global Christians, our prayer lives reach beyond individual supplications to include God's great harvest. Boldly interceding that God's kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. From passages like Revelation 7, we know that heaven looks like every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping God together. Through prayer, each of us can play a key role in making that happen. Building a habit of prayer for the nations can take many forms. Take a minute to consider how you can participate. What if you incorporate praying for a missionary into mealtime prayer? What if you go on a prayer walk every Tuesday afternoon through a diverse neighborhood? What if you pause and pray whenever current events come up in a conversation? Or what if you spend time learning more about unreached people groups and praying for them? Imagine the impact if you spend regular time in prayer for God's will to be done in a country or unreached people group. Interceding on behalf of the needs of a ministry or asking God to send out more laborers. Imagine the even greater impact if you invite your family, friends, or church to join you as you build a habit of prayer for the nations.
So that's the habit of prayer. That's kind of the first habit of a global Christian, is to pray. Any thoughts about the importance of prayer?
Again, have you noticed if we start an interview, most of the time we ask them, is there anything we can do for you? And they'll say, pray.
Yeah.
So there's no replacement for it, Nathan. No,
you don't ever get beyond prayer.
You do not.
But you don't ever start without prayer.
Exactly.
We will never be a useful witness, a good witness, a global Christian, one who is helping to obey the Great Commission without prayer.
Amen.
So that's a good first habit to start building. A couple little ideas to pick one of these. There's others you can use in your mind. Just be creative and think of some habits around prayer that you can start building into your daily life. But here's an idea. How about going to the Joshua Project webpage? In fact, there's one called Unreached of the Day. So you can use the Unreached People Group of the Day prayer guide from Joshua Project. That's unreachedoftheday.org is the website for that. And you can sign up for daily reminders to help you pray for an unreached people group each day.
That's a individual thing that each person can do for themselves.
That's right. Absolutely. And it can come into your inbox on your email. It can be a notification on your phone through an app, different ways of doing that. Another idea is to start a group to pray for the nations in your local church or in your home or anywhere. There's a small group of people you can gather And you can use a video source that you find on prayercast.com. Prayercast is a great tool. So prayercast.com. And you can pray for specific needs along with local believers through those videos and your group that you might start. You can meet regularly together. So that's just a couple of little thoughts about prayer. And we're going to move to the second habit of global Christians, which is welcome.
What if, along with sending missionaries to the ends of the earth, we also made a habit of welcoming and sharing the love of Christ with the many immigrants and diaspora peoples in our communities? Often, we let our prejudices, politics, or public opinion drive our view of immigrants, refugees, international students, and others. However, as kingdom people, we must let the Word of God determine our attitude and actions toward those around us. In Scripture, the words aliens, sojourners, foreigners, or strangers are mentioned over 100 times. And we see God commanding His people to love, serve, include, provide for, and share His Word with them. He gives these commands so that all people might know the one true God. Through increased globalization, we have the opportunity to welcome new neighbors from some of the least reached people groups in the world without ever getting on a plane. As global Christians, we are called to love our neighbor, and our neighbor is not confined to those with the same cultural background as us. We see this in the life of Jesus. He welcomed those around him, no matter their ethnicity, age, gender, or social status. And we reflect his love when we show hospitality born out of inherent worth and active obedience. In his book, Reaching Out, Henri Nouwen wrote, "Hospitality means primarily the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It is not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom not disturbed by dividing lines. Not only can we offer space, friendship, and a helping hand to those that are coming to our country, but we can learn a lot from them as well. People from other nations have much to teach us about their cultures, languages, relationships, skills, experiences, and worldviews. The nations are next door. Will you welcome them? Small acts of kindness go a long way. Practicing the habit of welcoming could include things like inviting international students over for dinner, helping your neighbor study for a citizenship test, befriending a woman wearing a hijab at the park, or regularly supporting an immigrant-owned business. Jesus said, "I was a stranger and you invited me in." In what ways can you invite Jesus in by cultivating a habit of welcoming the nations?
So that's the second habit of welcome. Providing welcome, providing hospitality through welcoming the stranger.
Well, I want to let everybody know that you're listening to Exploring Missions here on AFR, and we're talking about the habits of a global Christian. And I just want to say, you know, the scriptures are big on hospitality. It really is.
It's a biblical theme.
It really is. And so what that is just hospitality.
That's right. The word, the Greek word for hospitality, actually is love of strangers or foreigners. If you think about God's love for us, while we were estranged, we were strangers to the kingdom. We were foreigners, not citizens, but he made us citizens.
Amen.
And so we can provide welcome and reflect that kingdom of God and that heart of God by some basic habits. Here's a couple of little ideas, and one of these was actually mentioned in the video, but it's to pray that God would give you eyes to see the foreigners and the unreached around you. Like, God, open my eyes to see people as you see them. But we have a tendency to have something called like backyard blindness. We don't see what's around us very well. And sometimes what's around us are people from other countries, and they may not have had access to the gospel. You might be that access to the gospel. And so we want to pray for God to open our eyes. Another idea is to invite an international student to participate in your family's holiday celebrations. And I'll just tell you, if you do this, it's fun.
It is.
It's a lot of fun. You have to answer a lot of questions. One of the questions, if you do a Christmas holiday event and you invite people who are new to America into your Christmas celebration, whether you have Santa Claus anywhere in your house or not, you'll have to answer a question about why is Santa Claus, what does he have to do with Christmas? And then what does the Christmas tree have to do with Christmas? And you start wondering, I don't really know why these things have to do with Christmas. But I will tell you, Devin, I think our producer, Devin, you'll laugh at this. When we've done some Thanksgiving dinners and invited friends from South Asia, any starchy meal, that's the favorite thing. Anything with starch, like a sweet potato, rice, potatoes, that's everybody's favorite. They love starch. So anyway.
They might can leave the turkey alone, but don't leave out the potatoes.
Yeah. That's right. All right. So that's the second habit of a global Christian. We're going to look at the third habit of a global Christian, which is simply to go.
Cultivating a habit of going is not simply a good suggestion, but an act of obedience to Christ's final command. In the passage known as the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The original Greek can be understood to say, "As you are going, make disciples of all nations." Christ's vision was that going would be a regular rhythm, a rhythm that would be practiced by all of his followers, not only missionaries. The habit of welcoming is about hospitality and inviting the stranger into our community. In contrast, the habit of going is about stepping out of our community and into the context of those who have not heard about Jesus. As global Christians, we want all people to have access to the gospel. Therefore, we actively seek opportunities to help make this a reality, even when it means leaving our comfort zones. We push past our excuses and fears, trusting in the Holy Spirit's empowerment, remembering Christ's promise that He is with us, and leaving the results up to Him. Practicing the habit of going begins with simply walking out of your front door. Maybe it's sharing your testimony with an international student on your campus, or visiting a refugee neighbor's home. Maybe it's joining an outreach ministry or sports club to make friends with unbelievers. Maybe it's going on a short-term vision trip to an area of the world that is less reached. And for those burdened and called to do so, maybe it's packing up your life and moving to another country. For the past 2,000 years, the gospel has been spreading throughout the world as a result of believers' obedience to go. How will you develop a regular habit of going?
All right, so that's the third habit, to go. Sometimes that's the only one we think of, but there's other habits, but going is one of them that we cannot neglect.
God said it was so important. He used that term, and we are going to go. That term, as you go, no matter where you go, but sometimes you go on purpose.
Yeah, that's how intentional are you in your going.
That's right.
You can go about your daily life, but if you go with the purpose of being a witness, if you go with the intention of making disciples, especially noticing those who don't have access to the gospel. Eventually, if you build that habit, you might find yourself going pretty far away, you know, and trying to do the same sort of thing you're doing here at home. You might be ended up doing it in another place. But here's a couple of ideas to help us start working on this habit of going. One thing is to practice sharing your testimony with friends. Just gather some people, other brothers and sisters, and practice in front of them until you're comfortable enough to share it with somebody else that is a stranger or someone that God leads you to. Maybe you could just pray with your friends about who you should share your testimony with. So that's one simple way of preparing to go and building that habit. Another idea is to invest in a season of intentional, holistic preparation for serving cross-culturally by joining, and these videos come from a ministry called Global Frontier Missions. Well, you can join Global Frontier Missions for a semester of missionary training. It's called Missionary Training School. You can go to their campus in Atlanta like I did several years ago and went through 5 months of apprenticeship and of training through Missionary Training School. But you don't have to leave home. You can actually go to missionarytrainingschool.com and take up to their 20 modules that they offer online through missionarytrainingschool.com. So a couple of ideas to help us get ready to build this habit of going. All right, The fourth habit that we're going to look at next is send.
The habit of sending, while often undervalued, is a vital contribution to the Great Commission. As asked in Romans 10, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Healthy going can't happen without holistic sending. In the evangelical missions world, we often associate sending with financial support. While this is a very important aspect, sending must not be limited to money. Being a sender is about investing in the ministry and overall well-being of the sent one as a regular part of your everyday life. It's consistently coming alongside a missionary as they fulfill their calling on the field. You'll find that it not only blesses them, but it also blesses you. Global Christians have a heart to see Christ's name proclaimed among all nations. This naturally leads to them giving generously of their time and resources to support efforts working to make that vision a reality. A simple way to start sending well is learning what missionaries your church supports and praying for them. Another step is to partner directly with a cross-cultural worker or missions organization. Take it to the next level by replying to their emails or shipping a care package. Get creative. Consider how you can use your skills and resources to bless a missionary. Maybe it's volunteering to help them with their taxes, allowing them to borrow your extra vehicle while they are visiting on furlough, or proofreading their newsletter. In doing these things, we reflect Jesus, who is the ultimate sender. He commissions us as his disciples, provides everything we need to accomplish the task, and promises that he will be with us always. And we can partner with him through championing one another as he sends us. How will you practice the habit of sending?
Well, that's the fourth habit of a global Christian, which is to send. I remember as I was listening to this, it came to mind several years ago when I was on the mission field. I created online this little template of a t-shirt design. I never printed it out because I tried to sell it and nobody wanted it, but I should have bought it for myself. There it was. I remember it was a quote from John Piper, and he said, "Go, send, or disobey." So nobody wanted that shirt, but
it's true.
It's important to send. You can't go without somebody sending.
I want to share this. I was talking to an individual. He's going to be of the Lord now, but we were talking, Dave Butts, and he said, "I believe why America has been blessed by God so much is because we have sent more missionaries out and supported more missionaries than any country in the world." Praise the Lord.
Yep. So here's a couple of ideas to think about. Maybe you want to try some of these or either of these for sending your sending habit. One, you can sign up for a missionary's email update. Pray about ways to help them in their ministry, maybe like occasional financial gifts, sending a care package, or possibly providing a vehicle for them to drive when they visit. Another idea is to host an event to raise awareness about a missionary friend and their ministry. That was done for us a few times, and it meant a lot to have someone being your champion in the corner.
Amen.
To help send you out in a good, healthy way. All right, the fifth final habit that we're looking at today of a global Christian, mobilize.
Cultivating a habit of mobilizing is a simple yet powerful way to multiply our efforts toward fulfilling the Great Commission. With over 3 billion people in the world not having regular access to the gospel, it can be difficult to know where to start. However, a first step toward changing this reality is raising awareness. People in your community might not know about the task remaining, Christ's commission, or how they can play a part in it. Missions mobilizer Wesley Tullis described mobilization as any process by which God's people are awakened and kept moving and growing until they find their place for strategic involvement in the task of completing world evangelization. Global Christians develop a heart for the nations by incorporating the habits of praying, welcoming, sending, and going into their everyday lives. As they learn, grow, and are blessed through these activities, they mobilize others to come along with them. In some ways, you could say that mobilization is simply living a lifestyle of invitation. You might be implementing a habit like praying for unreached people groups, welcoming an immigrant to your home for dinner, or sending a care package to a missionary. Think about how you can invite your family, friends, or small group to join you. Perhaps you can become an advocate for missions in your local church or city, or lead a missions-focused Bible study or prayer gathering. But it could be as simple as sharing what you're learning from the habits with those around you. Global Christianity is best practiced in community and encourages multiplication. As your friends begin implementing the habits, encourage them to invite others in their circle to do the same. From passages like Revelation 7, we know that heaven looks like every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping God together. Through mobilization, we can all be involved in making this happen. How will you practice the habit of mobilizing?
So that's the fifth habit of global Christians to mobilize. One way to describe mobilization is you can join the mission field and go yourself, or you could send 10 others in your place. And that's a picture of mobilization. And so here's a couple of thoughts, ideas to get started in mobilizing. One idea is to set aside an hour once a month to pray for the nations, but then invite a few others to join that prayer group alongside you. Another idea is to join your churches, your local church's mission committee, and advocate for unreached people groups. Maybe your church has a missions team or a missions committee, and you want to jump in and push and champion the idea of praying and mobilizing and sending workers to reach unreached people groups. Perhaps your local church doesn't have one of these missions teams or committees. Well, ask your pastor if you can start one today.
Amen.
So those are five habits of a global Christian. And simply, I just want to ask you to consider what simple ways you can start beginning building this habit. But I want to encourage you also to make that a goal, to become a global Christian, a force in the world to make an impact on the world where those nations, tribes, tongues, languages, peoples from all tribes everywhere will be around the throne, and you can join in with them one day singing "Worthy is the Lamb."
Pray that God would give you a heart for the nations. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions.